Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Monday edition of the program. It's 3 and Out, and it's brought to you today by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out at tvacreditunion.com. I'm Nate Hodges alongside Houston Kress, Davey Hudson. We got Julia in the house as well. Oh, baby.
Whew. It's a sweet edition of the show today. Just a sweet edition. So sweet.
Feels good.
This edition of the show. Sweet and not stressful, as I like to say.
Not stressful.
At all.
Anymore.
Never in doubt. Never had a worry. As I crouched behind a chair to watch basically the entire second half of that game yesterday at Oakmont Exchange. Never a doubt in my mind.
Can you describe what it was like, first half versus second half?
First half, party. Second half, funeral. There you go. It was eerily silent in the big room at Oakmont. A lot of drinks being ordered in the first half with smiles on their faces.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of drinks being ordered in the second half with the, hey, and get that out of here quick, I'm in need. That was me. I was the second half guy saying, hey, get this out quick. I'm in need.
Well, I saw the pictures from you guys on Friday when things got a little dicey.
Oh, yeah.
You and Davey had your matching hoods up.
We hid in hoods.
Hoods up.
That's what we did. And it worked.
It
worked.
The rally hood.
Rally hood, we called it. Yeah, probably going to have the hood again on Thursday. Although I didn't need it yesterday. I'll debate the hood. But whoo.
Man.
No stress. Never in doubt. Vols advance.
83-77 in overtime.
Survive in advance.
Tennessee wins over Iowa.
I guess we need to also break. Yesterday. I mean, we haven't talked about the Colgate game. We can kind of start
double feature today.
Back and work forward or vice versa. I don't know.
I think you work backwards.
All right. I'm just saying. Don't matter.
You had a 25-point lead in the first half. You had a 21-point lead at halftime. I was driving through Nashville listening to it on the Fan Run app, and it was stressing me out. Did you hear?
Oh, you doubted?
The guys on the broadcast said that a 25-point deficit—that's the biggest deficit anyone's ever come back from in the NCAA tournament. So basically, Tennessee was working on the biggest choke job, and that comeback too. The previous one was BYU coming back to beat Iona. And I have to assume that Iona was the worst seeded team in that scenario. That it was like the underdog got the 25-point lead, and the favorite came back and beat them. So Tennessee was basically working on the biggest choke job in NCAA history.
Correct. Never in doubt.
But Iowa never got the lead, right?
Nope.
They tied it two or three times.
Tennessee never trailed in the game. We were just toying with them. We just took our foot off the gas to save a little juice for Purdue. I mean, it's
by playing a five extra minutes. It was 49-28.
Well, we rested
at
Admiral because it was, you know, the smart thing to do.
There's so much to get to.
I mean, Grant had sat with the fouls. You know, they wanted to make sure, so him getting an extra 5 minutes. He also kind of dominated overtime.
He did.
Kyle, I mean, he's had a couple like 5 minute games because he fouls out so fast. So he's good. Bone, Turner, they don't get tired. Everything was fine. Bowden was a man possessed. Nope. Not an issue.
It was 49-28 at halftime.
49.
The second half score.
You know, we hit the three at the halftime buzzer that didn't count. We almost had 52.
It's true.
Got it off a little bit late. I wanted to be up 52-26 because I feel like if you're doubling a team at halftime.
Surely it's over?
It's, yeah.
And well, this one wasn't over.
You know, we gave up a bucket on one end and then we didn't hit that three. And I thought, well, 20. What was that, 21?
21.
Still, yeah, still feel pretty good about 21.
Second half score, Iowa 43, Tennessee 22.
We had 24 points in the first 5 minutes and 23 seconds of the game. And then we scored 22 in the last 20 of regulation. We then did score 12 in overtime. We kind of mix and matched averages there. Got the overtime up to 12. Pretty good performance in the OT. So much to think about. But before we think about it,
okay,
let's think about this. The Sweet 16.
There's only 16 left.
16 teams remain.
That's it.
All 1s, 2s, and 3s. And then, I'm trying to think, Oregon. Someone else.
Auburn.
There's only two more now that aren't 1s, 2s, or 3s.
Florida State's a 4.
There you go. Florida State.
You say Vautech.
Vautech.
And Vautech.
Wow.
There you go.
There's your 16. 1, 2, 3, those 4.
I mean, it's been a pretty bad NCAA tournament. Just
and
for...
I said that on Friday's show, and people were like, no, it's been great. Now, granted, we were only one day in at this time. It's like, yeah, but it kind of went all chalk, and there were some decent games, but no real upset.
Been bad.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the last time that
it's
you
been bad.
Yesterday was good. I hate that Tennessee was involved in the good, but everybody is bragging about how yesterday the Tennessee-Iowa game and then last night Duke-UCF.
Yeah. We'll get to that later.
It's been, no, I'm just saying, yesterday was a good day.
It's been a long time since you've had all 1, 2, and 3. I'm trying to think of the exact year.
There's only one other time it's ever happened. Only one other
Only
year.
Once?
Yeah. Whew. Only one year, one other year has the 1, 2, and 3s all made it. It's crazy.
Good to be a 1, 2, or a 3. Glad we Whew. Went on that deep run, you know, in the middle of the season there. We win 18 or whatever it was in a row. That secured you a place near the top. You got the 2 seed, and now you're in the tournament because rules.
Well, it didn't really matter, but ESPN, like after every week or every round, they reseed the teams
yeah.
and kind of rank them, and like Tennessee just continuously drops.
Good. We're better when people doubt us.
It's true.
It's a plan by Barnes & Company. It is amazing how well they have started both games.
Like right now, you're 14th out of 16.
I've got a listener that's been DMing me for a while now saying – that they have a problem coming, like starting the second half. And if you look back at games.
Well, the problem is the other team is so desperate because we're whipping that ass that they're like, we got to just change everything. And then we come out and we're like, well.
No. It's happened in some of those games where we got our ass whipped.
Go on.
Like on the road at Auburn.
So you just
like Auburn in the SEC tournament. Like no,
Auburn in the SEC tournament was kind of bad from about the 10-minute mark in the first half. I'm not disagreeing with you, but.
But what I'm saying is it's not just been games where they played great in the first half. It's been most of the games they haven't started the second half well. Whether they're up big or tied or it seems like a problem recently. It's
Bama,
weird.
Bama rings a bell. Where John Petty goes berserko.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I'll give you that one.
So I mean I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, you didn't have like a thought on it? You just wanted to say what someone else was saying? Not, I'm not.
Well, I mean,
that sounded mean. I wasn't being mean.
No, yeah, right. I'm just putting it out there. They've definitely had some just shake your head lulls for huge stretches or entire halves of
22 points. Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. The turnover thing came back in the second half yesterday too.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I think it's because we slow way, way down and just try to run offense. And then the other team, because they're down, is just right in your grill. And we get kind of lackadaisical.
I really enjoyed listening to the game because I haven't done that. I've never.
Oh, did you listen to Bob and Burt?
No, I didn't. I listened to the our station with the Westwood One call.
Oh.
And I thought the announcers, they talked about how the whole first half, how Tennessee had pushed the tempo and was outrunning Iowa, yep. was outworking Iowa.
Yep.
They talked about how Iowa was sending more guys to the offensive glass early in the game, and it mm-hmm. worked a little bit. They had gotten some offensive boards, but that it was burning them on the other end, that Tennessee was pushing the tempo. And then they
stopped.
They correctly kind of profiled how Iowa started sending less guys to the offensive glass, which allowed Tennessee to clear more rebounds, but that was about the same time Iowa started making more shots, so it didn't matter as much, and Tennessee wasn't getting any fast break points or transition points, and he coupled that with the fact that Tennessee completely changed tempos in the second half.
That did happen.
And, you know, it was a rest. And then, credit those guys who are supposed to be unbiased, they completely agreed with the Tennessee fan base and said that the refereeing was awful.
It was
and
bad.
When you have
Kentucky, Duke, and unbiased radio people saying, I don't care about Tennessee at all, but man, these refs in the second half have been a joke, you start to think maybe they were bad.
The color guy said after the Lamonte call,
that's the worst call I've seen in the NCAA tournament, and there have been some bad ones. Maybe the worst call all season, honestly.
He said that referee's going to watch this on as he's, you know, in his grading or in the locker room or whatever, and he will be embarrassed. He should be embarrassed. I mean, he apologized. The color guy apologized for talking about the refs so much, but then said, I just have to because this has been bad.
Good for that guy.
So I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, I mean, since you mentioned it, did you notice that the ref who had the best view of that play completely just called it a tip? He was just like, no foul. And then the guy from 30, 40 feet away blows his whistle after we've grabbed the loose ball and are about to have a layup on the other end. Then they come together for a little talky talk.
I thought you were going to get an inadvertent whistle.
I would have preferred that instead of the guy doubling down on a foul that didn't exist
yep.
and convincing the other guy who saw it and called it a clean block that it was a foul. That's a 5-point swing in a very pivotal moment of the game. Of course, they hit all three free throws. Thank God Lamonte came back on the other end and buried a three either the next possession or a possession later. But that, I think that was when I hit a wall. Literally, I kind of hit a wall.
Oh, yeah. Punched something.
Not punched. Like a two-hand, like a Hayukan shove.
Smart. You don't want to
break it wasn't
things.
Brick. It was wood. It was a door. So I feel like if I broke it, like I could fix a door or replace it. But that was the moment where I almost came unraveled. Almost had some doubt creep in. But Tennessee never trailed. It's hard to get negative and feel bad about a game when you never trail. Never in doubt. I was sweating.
Did you let yourself think how hard it would be to not only do the show like today, but throughout the basketball offseason if the game had if Iowa had won this game in overtime?
No. I've been joking about saying no stress, no doubt, but I really never felt like, yep, we're going to lose this thing. I probably should have felt that.
I thought I wasn't going to be able to come back from Columbia. Like, had we lost...
You're just going to stay there? You were just going
to
live in Columbia?
Yeah, I was just going to live in Columbia at that point.
Columbia Dave, we'd have called him.
I would have just stayed down there.
It's a nice town. I like Columbia.
It was, yeah.
College town. South Carolina fans are okay. Frank Martin's down there, for now at least.
Yeah.
No, I really wasn't. I mean, I was nervous because it was, you know, Tennessee. I was just kind of like, let's just get to the end because I feel like once we get to the end, I'll be happy. But in the meantime, this is bad. How do teams...
See, I felt like that in the Colgate game. You guys were stressing out. Like, I just didn't feel like they were actually going to be able to beat us. But this game, I was freaking out.
Colgate took a lead.
I was freaking out.
Colgate took a 2-point lead in the second half, and I was like, no.
We probably lose to Colgate if their best player plays.
See, I disagree. I think we actually win by more because I think Ivanauskas being out gave Burns the green light, and the guy hit 8 threes, including three that were just the dumbest shots I've ever seen in the world go in.
Yeah, I saw you guys both tweet about that. I think you'd have just been in a different type of battle if he's in the game. I don't know. Maybe.
I just don't think
he makes threes too, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Burns was just like, I mean, he was their scoring option, and I think the coach was like, hey, what's Rapalus?
Yeah.
Rapalus is out. Jordan, if you got a half-decent look, just pop it because you're our only shot. The guy had eight.
Yeah, he didn't have to worry about it going.
Yeah, there was no,
like if Grant Williams
don't forget
is
to let Ivanauskas yeah. touch it every now and then. It was just, hey, you're the guy. Go ahead and pop it.
If Grant's out, Admiral and Lamonte are going to be much quicker and even Bowden and Bone to shoot a three because there's not going to be the whole make sure Grant gets a touch
correct
thing.
At least that's the way I saw it.
But I still
– I could be wrong. I just felt like Burns getting the green light kind of gave all the other shooters the green light too, and they just started bombing.
So glad he was out. Could have been worse if he was in maybe. I don't know.
Pink eye is what they said. I thought Davey nailed it. I was like, he's like, that looks like a migraine. I was like, that does look like a migraine.
We couldn't hear what the announcers correct. Were saying inside Elkmont.
Oh, well, it didn't matter. They had no clue. Like, no one, like they.
The only thing I saw tweeted out was he went and took his contacts out and put new ones in, and it didn't do anything.
Well, the first thing I heard is they forgot he left. They left his main contacts.
Oh, okay.
So they had like a backup pair.
Uh-huh.
But I'm wondering if it was like an old pair, maybe the backup pair that's been riding around in the bag all year, maybe or something. I don't know. He tried the backup pair, and then, like, I guess putting those in. People were debating. Well, maybe the backup pair like scratched his eye, or maybe they're just not right, or like
the backup pair were infected with pink eye. Probably.
Oh, I mean,
wait. So he did not have his original. Is that normally a team thing?
I don't know.
I feel like, is he not responsible for seeing
I don't
normally?
Know. I don't know. And I don't even know if this story's right. This is just what they said. Because
the pink guy story is right.
Right, because that came from the coach. Yeah. Well, normally what comes from the coach is right.
I feel like you don't make up pink eye.
No, no.
I'm surprised they didn't make up something to say it wasn't pink eye.
So, but I was still really confused because, I mean, he had his everyday glasses. He even put those on. I mean,
have you ever had pink eye?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't either.
I'm not missing the NCAA tournament.
That's
with pink
eye. That's my question.
I've had pink eye and worn contacts on the pink eye.
Is it called the pink eye?
Yeah. It
so
is
if,
right
if
now.
If you have pink eye, that eye is the pink eye.
No. No, oh. You just have pink eye. Sometimes in one eye.
So it's the pink eye
eyes.
Eye?
The eye with pink eye.
Yeah, it can so be. Or you can get it in both.
And
eyes.
So then you
if
become
you
the pink eye guy.
Yeah.
In that eye.
Yeah.
You could play with pink eye, is what you're saying, though.
Absolutely.
I don't understand what happened here. Did he have it in both?
Dude,
were they swollen shut?
You wear glasses, right?
Sometimes.
If you, okay, you're, let's
I
say.
I wear contacts.
You cannot wear contacts for some reason.
Okay.
You're a senior. Your entire life has
how
had
basketball. How bad's his vision?
It's bad. Because he was having to ask coaches what the score was. Did you see that on the sideline?
Oh, yeah.
What's the score?
I would
the
love.
Coach is like, I'm trying to coach here. 47-48.
Just ask anybody. Like, they're all right there. You don't have to ask a coach. I want to know what his vision was.
But hang on. He had his everyday glasses.
You can't play in those.
Would you not at least try?
They'd be flying off. I mean, I would come up with, like, an apparatus to tape them to my face.
I don't care. Yeah.
It's tape the biggest them. Game of your life.
I'm playing.
Like,
I'm doing something.
But it didn't look like he was just blind. It looked like he was dying.
I know.
He was over there, like, hiding his face in the towel, and like he looked like he was crying the whole time too. Maybe that was an emotional tears, or maybe it really hurt.
That's
that
what
bad.
The announcers kept saying on TV is that he was just so emotional that he couldn't play. But then they weren't sure. They were like, I don't know. Maybe it was very
it's tough
odd.
Because are those pink eye tears or are they sad guy tears?
I've had an infection with contacts where you like you take the medicine for a while and you just keep wearing the contacts that had. That you were wearing with the when the infection was there, but and then at some point you have to try and pitch those.
Yes.
Try and take a little more medicine, just wear glasses for a little bit because you don't want to keep contaminating contacts. But like, how does this guy not have some contacts he could wear for that one day and then pitch and then try and get better 2 days later?
I mean, these guys,
I mean, this was it.
As a student athlete, I'm pretty sure all of their, like, you know, medical and dental and vision and, is covered, right? So, I mean, he's got unlimited amount of contacts if he wants them.
And their Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's right. The NCAA did opt for a free Wi-Fi for all the teams.
Didn't you see
Oh.
Is there been more news?
Wait a minute. The Fox Sports Knoxville healthcare professional has chimed in. We are thankful she is up and listening at 7:25 a.m. He had the flu version of the what? There is a flu version of pink eye.
He said the man flu version.
Man.
What is that?
That's sexist.
She's a woman.
Point made. Yeah. What is that? Man flu? What's the man flu? Davey, hop on the Google machine and see what man flu pink eye is. I'm not putting that in my browser. No chance. I might run for president one day. You Google man flu pink eye?
Urban dictionaries. Man flu is not just a cold. It is a condition so severe that the germs from a single man flu sneeze could wipe out the entire tribe of people living in the rainforest.
Is this a female medical professional making fun of the fact that men do not handle illness?
It is.
Come on.
She's yeah.
Did you see that guy? That looked like a little more than puffiness and some itchy eye. Man flu. I
don't know.
It's when men get a cold and can't handle it while the women go to work.
You're right. It was sexist.
Told you. She's a woman. I know.
Harvard.
She's a he-woman man-hater is what she is.
Harvard says the concept of man flu sounds like a joke or a ploy for sympathy, but men may experience the flu differently than women do.
Or we're wimps.
There's evidence. Apparently, it's a big debate. It's like a flat earth thing. There's just people on both sides of this.
No, I mean, I've had this conversation with many people many times. It is amazing. Like, it does seem like men maybe play up the sickness just a little bit. CNN, or maybe it really does impact the male body differently.
CNN says a man is more susceptible to complications from respiratory illness than a woman, and his immune system is generally less robust than hers.
Yeah, and when's CNN ever been wrong? Especially recently. Not getting into that. Not getting into it, but whew, yesterday was kind of
I'm just saying, I'm playing. I don't care what it's at. Like, I mean, come on. An eye problem? Like, I'm throwing on the regular glasses and at least giving it a shot, and if they fall off every possession, so what? Like, I don't care.
Is it possible that getting pink eye could have also given him a migraine, but he wouldn't know to call it that because he's not had them normally?
There was a point not where really. He was asking a coach what the score was. Did we just say that?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I was on the phone.
No.
It was before you were on
it was
the
well
phone.
Before
no.
the phone. Well before the phone.
Yeah, it was.
Well before the phone. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is that because he's blind without the contacts in, or is that because his head hurts and he's under a towel?
One in Stripes says a prepared man would have had a pair of James Worthy glasses at the ready.
Well, I don't know.
I take backups of contacts for, like, vacation because I'm afraid it's going to, like, ruin my trip at the beach. If I'm playing in the biggest game of my life, I'm going to have some contacts that'll work. Maybe even some backup glasses.
Nate. Not you, Nate. Different Nate. Tweets in and says, when I played in college, the medical staff kept the backup pair of my contacts, but I would pack two pair in my suitcase just in case. I would hope.
Of course.
Yeah, like, what is that? I mean, surely he's not walking around blind until he gets to the game. You got my contacts, man.
Yeah, dude, we got him.
So who's to blame here? The medical staff?
Both. I think both.
Where is he from again? Evanauskas.
Don't you have to take care of your international players a little bit more and kind of check on them and make sure that, like, they're, you know, like, I don't know. It's got to be harder on those guys. Like, to order new contacts.
Speaks five languages. It should be easier.
We'll come back with more. We got Neil on the horn. We'll get to him right after the break. He wants to talk about this eye issue. 865-546-8200 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Where we balled up.
Yeah, I don't. Agate. I mean, how do you feel if you're a, like, how would you feel if the Purdue game starts and Grant Williams isn't on the floor and the game's going along and it's fine, it's close, and then you get the reports that he had a contact issue and he can't play and he's sitting over there crying the whole game or rubbing his eye or
whatever.
Well, I was
with you. I thought, like, a contact, you know, you get, like, some dirt or a dust particle or a piece of sand. Lots of sand in Columbus. I thought maybe his eye got scratched real bad. He left the floor and came back. And then I thought, he's back. And then he was not back. He was just sitting there crying. Well, crying is not the right word. Tearing because of the severe conjunctivitis. It's the medical term for pink eye. Several things could be to blame. Viruses, bacteria, irritants such as shampoo, dirt, smoke, and pool chlorine, a reaction to eye drops, an allergic reaction to things like pollen, dust, or smoke, or a special type of allergy that affects some people who wear contact lenses. Fungi, amoebas, parasites. It could also be the result of an STD. Gonorrhea, apparently, can bring on a rare but dangerous form of bacterial conjunctivitis, can lead to vision loss if you don't treat it. chlamydia is also on the list. Viruses spread person to person. That's it. That's all I got.
I mean, is his,
lots of tears and a watery discharge.
Is his pink eye so bad that he can't see? Is that the problem? Like, or that he, I guess it's so bad that it, like, blurs up his contacts, so he's basically just useless. And that's the only thing I can think of.
Here are the symptoms.
The head coach said.
What exactly did the head coach say?
He woke up this morning and it just wasn't happening. Your heart breaks for him. He said he was dealing with pink eye, and the quote was,
he played woke up some, though, right? Am I correct? Like, he started,
happening.
Right?
Yeah, he was okay. Like 0 for 4. Three rebounds.
Couldn't see the rim. It woke up and it wasn't happening. Redness in the white of the eye or inner eyelid. Swollen conjunctiva. no, that one. More tears than usual. Thick yellow discharge that crusts over the eyelashes, especially after sleep. So we think that's how he woke up. This makes your eyelids stick shut when you wake up. Maybe that's what he meant by it just wasn't happening. Green or white discharge from the eye, itchy eyes, burning eyes, blurred vision, sensitivity to light would explain the towel, and swollen lymph nodes. If you have, can cause severe pain in your eye when you look into a bright light. It is the NCAA tournament. Lights are bright.
Lights are bright.
I don't know where I got a, I'm sorry. Vision obviously affected by pink eye. High fever. Shaking, chills, face pain, vision loss. They're very unlikely symptoms. Maybe he had a severe bout of conjunctivitis. Maybe it was way worse than we thought. Wow. Pink eye. Like pink eye.
JT says, in college, I ran out of saline and used eye drops to lubricate my contacts. There was some chemical reaction. It was just excruciating. I look just like that guy.
Well, some eye drops your contacts are supposed to be in them all night because the solution has to, what's the word? I can't remember. Essentially, if the solution's in the bottle, it's not good for your eye. But once it's out of the bottle and your contacts sit in them overnight, you can then put the contact in your eye. But it's like 4 to 6 hours or something. It's a special cleaning formula. It has to.
Yeah, there's some
not sterilized, contact, but something like that. Like it has to deactivate.
Some contact
solution.
Solution that's for storage, and then there's others for, like, actually putting
lubrication
it in. Grant says, if Grant Williams didn't play in the Sweet 16 game because of pink eye, I would lose my mind. And then Evan's trying to come after the medical professional's job here. Says he needs 4 years, but when he finishes med school.
Well, if she keeps up the sexist comments, we might be looking for another one. Just saying. I'm kidding. Please don't. Please don't start anything. I feel like she's way more safe than I am. So I need to be. I need to tone it down. Anyway, Rapalus Ivanauskas gets pink eye, becomes worthless. Tennessee escapes Colgate.
Hmm. All right.
You know, we do have an eye professional on the phone right now. If you want to bring him on the show.
Let's bring on T-Carp.
Eye professional extraordinaire, T-Carp. T-Carp, have you ever had to deal with somebody recovering or in the midst of a pink eye infection?
Daily, if not weekly. I mean,
you're serious?
Yeah, I mean that's part of what we do.
It's his
in our
job, Houston.
Well, I mean,
isn't pink eye the number one eye disease you get, T-Carp?
Yeah, that.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
it's,
like,
it's
that
number
many.
One. Yeah,
but daily, no, you see it daily.
During some times of the year,
okay,
like back to school.
Yeah,
back to school, we'll get like tons of it.
Mm-hmm. Kids,
we'll get one person at least coming in for it.
Wow.
So. But probably what happened to this guy is he overwore his contacts. No one that I know ever overwears their contacts. But this is
a wives' tale. You can't overwear them if you clean them properly. This is just a scheme by people like you to get people like me to buy more contacts, T-Carp. You know what? I clean them. Not only do I clean them, I shake them once they get in the little contact case. So that they really scrub themselves.
This is the big eye business. That's what you're
saying. Yeah,
this is big contacts.
This is big vision trying to get me to buy contacts because I'll go blind if I wear them too much.
No, he probably overwore his contacts and got one knocked out. And what happens is the cornea gets used to a certain amount of oxygen content. And when you take the contact out, it floods the cornea with oxygen and it swells. Once that happens, you can't get a contact in. You got nothing going on. So that's probably what happened. Is he was overwearing them. He got it knocked out or got it taken out or got it scratched or something happened, tried to take the contact out. And then the eye just said, heck with this, and absolutely just went crazy on him.
And then pink eye on top of that. Are you saying that this could cause pink eye if you overwear
it? Not necessarily cause, quote unquote, pink eye, but I'm saying that this could make the eyes absolutely. So, because you've totally messed up how everything's working with there. There has to be a constant flow of oxygen there. That's why you clean your contacts, because you got to have oxygen.
I've put the contact in backwards before for a second, T-Carp.
Oh, yeah,
you immediately realize it, and then you take it out, but then trying to put it back in the correct way, your eyes, it's freaking out. It's already has that scratchy feel. It's no good.
Exactly. And most like trainers will have someone on retainer or an eye group that they can go to say, hey, you mind if I get some contacts or something like that. Actually, from football last year, one of the football players from, I think it was like Massachusetts or whatnot, called our store and asked for some contacts. And I thought about it. I thought about not giving it, but I was a good eye guy. Anywho.
Well, it's UMass. If it was Alabama, I'd expect
UMass,
behavior.
UMass, yeah.
T-Carp, they almost beat our ass. Alabama. Like, what are you doing? That could have been that we could have covered if you don't give that guy contacts.
Very true. Very true.
Actually, T-Carp might have helped Butch Jones get fired. Well done to T-Carp. Well done to T-Carp. That game being close might have been the difference.
I hear you.
Hey, T-Carp, can't you play basketball with pink eye, though? Like, it's not a big deal, right?
Yeah,
like, if
you
get pink eye.
Basketball with pink eye. My thing is, if you've got a big prescription, you've got to go with the Rodriguez type of glasses. You've got to go with those big Liberty Sport rec specs. You've got to have those on backup. So,
exactly.
Because you've got to know there's a possibility of your eyes being screwed up. So you've got to have those backups. And if they don't, that's on the trainer. That's on the medical staff and the trainer for not having their guys ready.
Thanks for the call, T.
Appreciate it, T-Carp.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I'm athletic taping my regular glasses
just
to my face.
Creating like a
yeah like you said, come up with a contraption. You had the whole half. I mean, they knew it was a problem at halftime. You got 20 minutes,
man. I'm telling
you, can't figure out how to get those lenses in front of your eyes in 20 minutes.
I don't think it was just a vision thing. That guy looked miserable.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like, I've been in a situation where I can't see great. I'm not crying with a towel over my head. If maybe he didn't have any glasses at all. No, he put him on. Yeah, dude, he had him.
You saw him. He's right there.
Is there a rule that you can't have like actual glass lenses and play basketball? Because all those rec specs, aren't they at least tempered or covered glass?
I don't even think the normal glasses are actually glass anymore.
Well, his might have been. That's why I was just asking. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there to test him. I was just saying if they're actual glass lenses, there might be some kind of rule.
Wow. Very strange. Pink eye. We'll come back. Final segment. We got lots to get into with this Iowa game as well.
Pink eye Ivanauskas.
Haven't got a chance to talk Colgate either. It's been a wild weekend for Tennessee basketball. They are still alive, though. That's all that matters. We'll come back. Final segment. Hour one next.
That was pretty good.
Final segment, hour number one, Three and Out. Today's edition brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. We got to get into this Iowa game. There's so many storylines. I mean, Tennessee came out and looked like the number one team in the country. Like they, I mean, Iowa, first of all, Iowa's a 10 seed. This isn't, you know, this isn't a Final Four game. This isn't an Elite Eight game. This is one of those teams in the middle pack of the Big Ten that is like a lot of those teams in the middle of the pack of the SEC. And Tennessee did that thing they do where for a while they can show that they are the cream of the crop. They're the best team, best veteran team in college basketball, if you want to put it that way maybe. Mm. I mean, they showed why this is a special group for a half of basketball. They were extremely efficient. They knocked down shots. They played really good defense.
Stifling defense.
They pushed tempo and got out and ran and just absolutely torched Iowa for being slow up and down the court. I mean, it was all the stereotypes that we have about the Big Ten and Iowa. And I mean, it's halftime, and I was like, yeah, this is the way this should go.
Yep.
And then I got one of our listeners DM me. I'm always nervous at halftime because he's been on this thing. They come out in the second half and just don't play the same way. And they started the second half, and it was dreadful. This wasn't like Iowa took 20 minutes to come all the way back from 21 down and tied it right at the last second to then send it to overtime. This game was a game almost immediately. They came back about as fast as you can against a team without it being like some ridiculous like press where you're getting like steal layup, steal layup, steal layup.
And I think it's worth noting, they only hit three threes in the second half. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't it's not like they hit nine threes and got back in the game quick. They only hit three. One of them, that fade away from the corner at the shot clock, that was just a dagger. Like, that hurt. But I'm just saying, it's not like they were out here just bombing away like Colgate or Auburn or something. They just methodically, well, I shouldn't say methodically. They got
a
lot. It
was a 5-point game with 8:12 to go.
A lot of turnovers right into their hand for easy layups. And I hate to think how many and one attempts they had there in the second half. It seemed like five times they would get fouled, make the shot, and make the free throw. They did. Where did they go from the free throw line? I feel like they were pretty good. Wow. 24 of 32. 32 free throws. Seems like a ton. Tennessee shot 23. So, fouls were 23-21, fairly even. But, they just like, I don't know, man. I can't even say chipped away. Like it was
a 5-point game with 8 to go.
Yeah, it was much faster than that.
8 minutes left, and they're right back in it. I mean, that's crazy. I watched the Auburn game against Kansas on Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
and you know, this is a problem that Bruce Pearl teams have because they can get so white hot from mm-hmm. three. I mean, they can just. But you feel like they're not that good, right? Like a Bruce Pearl team, take a Tennessee team if you want. I feel like they can get up 20, but you feel like they're not 20 points better than the other team. So you wait for it to close. Like you wait for the gap to close. And so when they got up big on Kansas, I was like, okay, this is going to be really interesting. I mean, we've all seen Bruce Pearl and his team get up big against Ohio State here and ultimately lose. I was like, Kansas is going to make a run. They're gonna close this gap. No. Auburn just iced it away.
Didn't happen.
And
sorry.
And the whole storyline of the whole narrative of don't take the air out of the ball too early. Keep pushing tempo. Like that's not what Auburn did. Auburn took the air out of the ball. They started running the shot clock down with like 10 minutes to go in the game. I mean, they every single possession. Harper would just hold the ball at half court. I mean, there was nothing else good on. I just kept watching. What else was there to do late Saturday? Once you were in watching basketball, that was all there was left. But Harper would run the clock down, and then they'd go into offense, and they weren't getting as good of shots as they got early in the game against Kansas, but they got good enough shots, they made enough of them, and the game was never close. And Tennessee, it's like they went to that strategy to start the second half. It always feels like, even in football, that when you come out after at halftime and you're blowing a team out, you need to hit them one more time
before you
then just bleed the clock out and end it.
Agree.
You can't come out at halftime and just sit on
and,
the ball.
Yeah, and say, okay, now we're going to go into chill mode.
Yeah.
I agree completely.
It's like hit them with one more run, score one more touchdown, whatever it is, then you can milk the clock and take the air out of the ball.
I think it was Troy yesterday. It's pretty easy at this time of year to get a team up for a game, right? Whether you're better or worse, like, you should be able to get your guys going. And as a coach, anytime your team is just crushing the other team, it's really easy to pull off the throttle and kind of get everybody, you know, back down and say, okay, we're going to go slow now. But then to get back to full gear, it's next to impossible. I hate it that we seem to do that at halftime. It's like we went into halftime saying, okay, good job. We're going to take it easy in the second half. We're going to milk clock. We're going to run offense. We're going to just survive in advance and go on. I agree with you completely. You need to come out of the locker room the same way you went in and then make that decision 5 minutes into the game. Because the worst thing you can do in a basketball game, especially March Madness, right? Especially this time of year, is lose your intensity, because getting it back is damn near impossible.
Yeah, you got to credit Tennessee for getting it back in the overtime, for going.
Well, that's the thing.
I
honestly believe getting to overtime kind of gave us like the hard reset of, hey, this is basically a new game now. You've got to win 5 minutes, and then we're going to the Sweet 16. It allows you to, I don't know, I guess when you're, it's weird because, like, even, you know, what was it you said, a 4-point game with 8 minutes to go,
five
or a
5-point
game,
with 8:12 to go.
Like, that's plenty of time for you to, like, kick it in gear and still win the game by 20 if you play the way you did in the first half. But there's something about, like, being in the middle of such a comeback, even with that much time left, there's no, like, hard reset to kind of, okay, fresh start, let's do it. I think overtime gave Tennessee the fresh start. They came out and they said, we're going to go to Grant. He gets, I think, 4 quick points, and then has the kick out to Bone. Ironic that Bone buries a 3 that was a much tougher shot than the one he missed at the end of regulation. We can talk about the play at the end of regulation here in a minute if you want. But Tennessee came out in overtime and looked pretty much like they did in the first half. They were smart, played really good defense. I think Grant's little pop block steal was kind of the game, because Tennessee had just scored, went down, scored again, and you felt like at that point, as long as you don't just miss all of your free throws the rest of the way, you're going to be in pretty good shape. But I hate when coaches do the, all right, guys, let's take it easy on pushing tempo and so on and so forth. I also thought that maybe Tennessee gassed themselves a little bit in that first half, because towards the end of the first half, I was like, man, we came out on fire. We're starting to look a little blah. I don't want to say tired, but I don't know. It didn't look as good. Even just the guys jogging down the court kind of looked like, whew, man, we really drained the batteries on that first 18, 17 minutes. But, man, just you can't throttle down like
that. That's why you got
to
come out.
It's so hard to get back into gear.
Hit them one more time, right, to start the second half when you're fresh, and then just bleed it out.
Yeah, like push it to, I don't know, 30, and then say, okay, now we can tone it down.
Or just play for, you know, 6 to 8 minutes and keep it even. Yeah, I mean, keep the lead at 20 to the 12-minute mark, and then start running clock, and they chip away a little bit at that point, it's pretty much over.
Iowa also kind of got hot and rode a wave, which happens.
They did.
It's March, man.
Like you mentioned, I mean, if Iowa scores 43 points in the second half, not that big a deal. The problem was Tennessee scored 22.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's enough possessions for Iowa to score 43, there's plenty for Tennessee to score 30 and make this game an easy 8-point win. We'll come back with more kickoff hour number 2, lots more on the NCAA tournament next.